Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could take away Jesus' body. Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took Jesus' body away. Nicodemus also, who came to him at first by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, 100 pounds weight. The writer C.S. Lewis told the story of a little boy named Eustace who went to sleep in a magical dragon's cave and woke up the next morning to find that he was a dragon. The irony was, he was much better as a dragon as he was as a kid. As a kid, he was very self-centered, completely egocentric. But as a dragon, eager for human company, he was a servant to everyone. And yet he couldn't remain a dragon. Aslan, the great lion of Narnia, indicates to Eustace that he wants to remove his skin and his armor. And Eustace wants this, but he cannot do that himself. So Aslan leads him beside a pool and there takes a sharp claw and pierces the dragon's armor and skin, which at first is painful, but then as he releases Eustace from that skin, it is a pure pleasure. And then the great lion helps Eustace into the pool. And out he comes, a boy again, but a new creature, born again. Nicodemus is not quite such a beast as Eustace, but he is a man at war with himself. He is one of the Jewish aristocracy with political, economic, and religious power, one with a name to uphold, and yet he is drawn to this charismatic, controversial rabbi who emanates a spiritual power that piques Nicodemus's curiosity. So he comes to Jesus, but comes by night. Comes to him asking for the formula for spiritual happiness, for peace. Nicodemus, on the one hand, wants that spiritual truth that Jesus seems to emanate and possess. On the other hand, he wants to remain ensconced in the status quo. Is he so very different from us? We who rise in the morning and say, I want to lose 10 pounds. And then we order a chocolate sundae in the afternoon. The person with substance abuse issues who said, I want to stay on the straight and narrow, but surrounds him or herself with friends that would undermine that very ambition. The person who says, oh, I want to meet new people, and then stays in the cocoon of the familiar. The person who says, I want to grow spiritually, but lacks the discipline to be involved in a community where one can be encouraged and patterned in spiritual growth. Nicodemus, in his welter of emotions, wanting to reach out to the newness that Christ offers while staying in the oldness of his comfortable life. Is he so very different from us? Jesus challenges him. You must be born again. What does that mean? Does it mean a moment of instant emotional ecstasy and freedom? Maybe. Does it mean a renunciation of everything that you've been heretofore? Sometimes. But mostly, what being born again means is getting out of yourself. What Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, just as you came out of your mother's womb into a dimension that you could not have imagined, I am calling you through the Spirit to be birthed out of your narrow life, out of the cocoon of the familiar, into a spiritual cosmos that is the very kingdom of God, centered around the values of God and the needs of God's people. Get out of yourself. It's an old novel about a woman named Edith in which the author says, Edith was bounded north, south, east, and west by Edith. Nicodemus is bounded north, south, east, and west by Nicodemus's familiar cocoon. Jesus says, you want spiritual maturity? You have to be born again. Born out of what you call the familiar into the cosmos of God's kingdom. Nicodemus is trying to do something with his faith that many of us try to do. He is trying to use his faith to gain something else. Walk into a bookstore and go into the spiritual section. You'll find spiritual books on how to be rich, how to be popular, how to be successful. All of those books miss the point. Faith is not an agent for gaining something else. Faith is simply the means by which we come into relationship with the divine. Faith is not a means to another end. Faith is just simply the relationship that we develop with the God who sustains us. Every life knows victory and defeat. Every life knows light and darkness. Every life knows joy and sorrow. But do you experience that spectrum of events in conversation with God, or is it a pilgrimage that goes nowhere? Nicodemus comes to Jesus because he wants to know the secret to happiness, the secret to peace. And Jesus says to him bluntly, that's not what I'm about. I come that you might know the living God, that you might be born out of your narrow self into the kingdom of God and experience the paradox that lies at the heart of all Christian self-development. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. It's when you lose your life pouring it out for God's sake and the sake of others that you find out who you're meant to be. Get out of yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You want happiness? You want joy? You want fulfillment? seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other virtues and pleasures will be found in your service unto the living God. Get out of yourself. How do we go about getting out of ourselves? We have to turn our mirrors into windows. Our mirrors into windows. What do I mean? I mean that most of us are captive to our own interiority. We see the world through the prism of our hopes, our issues, our desires, our fears, our pain. Someone comes to us and talks about their problem, and we're thinking, ah, I've got a worse problem than that. Someone comes to talk about their failure, and immediately we think about how our failure was so bad, and everyone is surely laughing at us. Someone comes to us with their loss, and we're thinking, well, my loss is worse. We turn everyone else's issues into a mirror of our own. When in fact we're called to open our lives and make them windows, so that we can see the neediness of others, the neediness of God's people. And in pouring ourselves out to their needs, we find out who we're meant to be. I think of Abraham Lincoln. Fell in love with a young woman named Mary Todd. They became engaged. But Lincoln, a melancholy, introspective man, begins to contemplate his weakness and thinks, I can never be a good husband. I can never love her enough. And he's stupid enough to tell her that. And she breaks off the engagement. Lincoln is devastated. He said, I, of all people, am so depressed that if my sadness was equally distributed among the whole human race, there wouldn't be a cheerful person on earth. Now that's depressed. But a friend of his, who's likewise engaged, is going through the same introspection, is about to call off his engagement. Lincoln goes to him and says, no, no. This person is the love of your life. Risk love. Pour yourself into this relationship and you'll find happiness. In giving advice to a friend, in putting aside his mirror and opening a window into someone else's need, he realizes, I ought to take my own advice. And he enters into a relationship with a woman that defines his life. He turned a mirror into a window. I think of that wonderful theological classic, The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy goes off to find the wizard, and is accompanied by those who are sure the wizard can give them what they need, just like Nicodemus is sure Jesus can give him what he needs. The scarecrow wants the wizard to give him brains. The tin man wants the wizard to give him a heart. The lion wants courage. And as they journey and bond together, and the scarecrow uses his reasoning to solve problem after problem, he learns he has a brain that no wizard can grant. And as the tin man opens up his compassion for his companions and all others, he learns he has a heart deeper than any wizard can give. And the lion, who thinks himself a coward, risks his life for his friends, and in so doing knows that he's capable of great courage. All of them find who they really are by getting out of themselves and pouring themselves out for others. Some of you might recognize the name of Norman Cousins, longtime editor of the Saturday Evening Post, who had a heart attack at age 31. And his cardiologist said to him, look, you probably have about 18 months to live. But you can only live if you stop work, stop travel, stop your sports, stop being active, and go to bed. Cousins thought about that advice for a few days till he came home from the hospital. And as he's walking up his walkway, here come his young daughters running to him, "Daddy!" And Cousins sees his life as a fork in the road. If he takes the fork that's been suggested, withdraw from life, take to bed, he might enjoy 18 melancholy months. But if he embraces an active passion for life, he may only live 18 minutes. But he decides that's the path to take. And his young daughters run to him, and he picks up each one and throws them into the air and catches them as he has always done. And he lives another 40 years of service and love and passion and profound activity because he got out of himself. Another cardiologist said to him near the end of his life, if you had taken the first cardiologist's advice, he probably would have been right. Nicodemus comes to Jesus wanting the answer, and Jesus says, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can you be born when you're old? And Jesus' point is, you're never meant to grow old. You're meant to be about a spiritual adventure that pulls you out of yourself every day, become a newer and newer spiritual creature. When Jesus is crucified and publicly disgraced, Nicodemus summons his courage to help claim that dishonored body. And in an act of extraordinary generosity, does obeisance to the slain Christ. And in so doing, he stops thinking about what will other people think. And his act of generosity, though he doesn't know it, is a sign that a spiritual movement is about to take place and the resurrection power of God is about to break into the world. And he's about to start the process of getting out of himself and becoming a new creature. How about you? Are you really growing day by day? Is Christ truly nurturing you and moving you out of yourself? If you believe the same thing now that you believed 10 years ago, your faith is not alive. Are you truly, truly living awake? I was driving down the road yesterday and a squirrel runs out in front of me to grab a nut, and I have to slam on brakes. And then I thought, how most of us are like that squirrel, running out in the pursuit of a single passion. God must look at us and want to say to us time and again, expand your vision. I'm drawing you out to become a new creature. Are we answering that call? Is Christ really our Savior? Is He really the power that sustains us? Is He really the power that draws us out of ourselves each day so we can become newer in Christ? That's a question each of us has to answer as we're challenged to actually grow in our faith. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, you have given us this extraordinary gift called life. But you have given us an even greater gift, eternal life, which is not reserved for when we draw our last breath, but is meant to be a dimension we experience each day in conversation with your Spirit. May we answer that call through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.